T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I am not a morbid guy, if you know me. I'm a jokester, a clown. I have loved every moment, every breath, every day. I covet it. I hug my wife. I tickle my kids. But you sit in a chair alone at 4 in the morning in the dark, and your cousin, who's a couple years older, who was a legendary personality, charming, beautiful man, is dead. And you start to think, man, how do I manage any of this? Mom and dad are gone. That's tough enough. My best buddy in the neighborhood growing up, dead. Seriously. Tommy Bellin. Anybody know T? B, we called him B. My sister Maria's first boyfriend. And Mickey, I could go on and on. 5 of my classmates from Sacred Heart Elementary, dead. Starts to roll, man. How do you manage that? I need your help on this one. I need some insight and wisdom from the best audience in America. Harold, thanks for holding, yes. Brother. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to tell you how I dealt with death. My son passed away 3 years ago, and the way I was very angry about everything that was happening, and I almost just lost it. But what got me through was my Sunday school class in church. Mm. They're like a family. They were by my side the whole time, and to this day, they're still there. And that's the way I do. You have to continue to have your faith and realize the good Lord is there. Did this for a reason.
How old was your son, sir?
He was 41.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, 43.
That's ridiculous. That's unfair.
He suffered for 16 months, but no, he's with the Lord.
Were there times when you wanted to quit, give up, die?
Yes. Oh, yes. I was so angry, I almost quit the church, and I just didn't care about life.
So your faith is the only thing that kept you alive? I don't want to speak for you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I know you're having a problem with the Catholic church.
Yeah.
If you're, it'd be a long ways to come down to Chippewa Township. If you're ever down that way and you want to stop in a church, our church is the most loving and caring church you ever want to meet. And it's called Pathway Church in Chippewa.
Nice.
The people down there are fabulous. There's 78 people in my Sunday school class, and every one of them to this day will say, how are you doing?
Hey, man, I talked to a couple last week, and we're going to do a piece on them because their son, who's 2 years old, he had cancer, and he died at 2. And mom and dad both told me, we don't know every day if we can make it to tomorrow. We have wanted to die many days.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know.
And, like, to this day, I can talk to you about it one-on-one.
Yeah.
If I get in front of a group of people, I tear up.
Sure. Yeah.
So, but... don't lose your faith, Marty.
All right. Thank you. Great man. My sis, Maria, you manage death by loving the living extra hard. We're becoming battled, tried warriors. I think everybody does, sis. Nobody evades this thing. No one skips town on death. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to turn this into the darkest hour of radio in history. Oftentimes, you folks are my coping mechanism. How do you handle it? When everyone starts to die, and you're looking, man, where am I at on that list? My wife is younger than me. First time ever I regretted or felt remorse that I allowed myself to do that. Seriously. I don't want her to be alone. This crazy crap that never crossed my mind until my parents died, two of my best friends died, and I got cancer. And now, what do you do, man? How do you cope? Terry, go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, first time caller, Marty. Hey, I think about this a lot. I lost my couple young cousins, my mom 2 years ago, and my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I have a singles group that we all met in. We have lots of friends, and they live their faith beautifully. And there's four widows across the street that lost their husbands years ago, and they inspire me. One of them is 83 years old. She cuts her grass. She walks every morning. She does more than I even can imagine doing. And that inspires me more than anything, the way people live their lives. They live their faith out just like that.
Okay, so, and I get this. This is marvelous. And I think that's a pretty strong foundation. But what about folks that don't have faith in God? Where do they go?
They got to build their own lives. They have to be there, maybe help other people, get involved. You know, if you're going to sit and wallow by yourself, you know, you just got to get out there, and you got to, that's another thing. That's what I would do. I would just keep people, make people happy. It's, they remember you, how you make them feel. That's all that matters.
By the way, excellent. People do wallow in it though, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We all feel sad. I mean, I think about it every day, you know, how am I going to, you know, approach this and what I'm trying to be, get myself ready and do the best I can.
How you say goodbye?
I
meet these couples that have been married 69 years and then she dies first and my man dies an hour and a half later. Well, no kidding. Huh. Right? No kidding.
There's no promises. It's just not easy.
Yeah.
It's a tough life, but I get inspired every day, you know, and we took care of my mom a few years ago. We're living in her house.
Yeah.
And our neighbors just stood there and looked at me and my brother the one day, her and her husband and all. And I said, they said, we just admire what you do. You don't realize the people that notice things, you know, you don't notice those things. And that's what I want to try to do, inspire just the way they have.
It's fantastic.
And you inspire me too, Marty. So.
Thank you, my dear. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
I think everybody has a different path. I think that's why I wanted to get into it today. How do you stay alive? How do you stay vibrant? How do you make a difference when everybody starts to die? And when I got the message that my cousin Mickey died yesterday, it just, man, I crashed and burned there for a bit. What do you do? 866-391-1020. Look, it's inevitable. You know this from the time you're a child. Your cells start to die once you get past 10 years old at a pace more rapid than they start to grow. I get it. But it doesn't really hit you till the folks you love in your age group start to die. And then you got to figure it out. What do I do in the last quarter mile of the mile race I've been running? How do I make a difference? How do I make this better rather than sitting in a chair with a blanket over your head, figuring out you could die any minute? Bartender, make me another drink. It's not the way to do it. Well, I'm not bringing folks down. I kind of being introspective about the end game. Don't talk about it a lot, especially not with the kids. But I was this morning with Christine early, because my cousin Mickey Griffin, who was truly one of the favorite people in my life, died. Couple years older than me and his kids and grandkids and all that jazz. How do you cope? How do you manage when everyone you love starts to die? One of my main men, Frank, from Tootie. Frank's dad's 105. How cool is that? My heart stops when the phone rings late at night. I get it, Frank. Sherry and Butler, thanks for your patience. Good morning.
Hi, thank you. If the doctor calls, I have to go, but I just called to tell you that I'm sorry about your losses, and I want you to maybe look into a winter wonderland and look into the little miracles in everyday life that you can see if you stay aware enough and mindful enough.
Keep smelling the roses, right, my dear?
Yeah, maybe help some people. Help yourself and help some other people. That's what I do. I'm trying to do that with my mom. She's losing her life now.
Mm. It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch. I'm playing the guitar for her when I can, and I know she can hear it. Singing to her.
It's amazing. Thank you, Sherry.
You're welcome.
I spend most of my time trying to help folks. Because of what you said, it gives you value. I wrote something this morning about a woman and her family we helped last week, and we've had her on, Molly, who we helped get a car and furniture and food and with the kindness of strangers and a microwave oven. And it does. It helps. She's right. That's why I knew that you folks would help me through this. I'm working on it. Dean, go ahead in White Oak.
Hi, Marty. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm sorry for your loss. One thing I can tell you that would help you get you through it's faith. It's having a firm belief that there's something for you after this life.
But if you don't believe that,
then it's empty.
Relevant question, though, isn't it? Relevant, right?
Yes, it is, sir.
Because half of Americans have no faith in what you just said.
Well, I feel sorry for them that they don't have that. You don't have to go through life that way.
Why not just live in the now rather than worried about I'm cool when I die? What about that?
For me, that's not an option. I mean, I would rather be secure in the knowledge that there's something better for me after this life.
So better than this life that you have here?
Yes, sir.
Fascinating. I get it. I respect that. I get it. But what if you don't have that? Brendan, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yep. Hey, I'm glad you're feeling better because a year ago, they gave me 6 weeks to live, and
wow.
I had my casket, my grave,
what?
Everything bought, so my wife, what? Yeah?
What happened?
I had liver disease. I needed to get a transplant, and they gave me 6 weeks to live. I prepared, I tried to make it easier for my wife, because I was ready to let go. I wasn't afraid to die.
Hold on, let me stop you. Yeah. How is that, man? Because I'm afraid to die.
You just come to terms with it. I was afraid to die all my life, and I was terrified. And then I prayed a lot. I believe in the afterlife. Yeah. I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm here is I had great doctors, don't get me wrong. But I had thousands of people praying for me.
Mm.
And I think prayer is what got me through it.
Nice. Did you get the transplant? Did you get the transplant?
I did.
Wow.
I got the transplant.
Very cool.
And now I donate a lot of my time. I go, because, you know, the hardest part was when I got the transplant.
Wow.
You think you're just going to get up and start dancing. It's like a year to recover from that. And now I go to talk to patients every other weekend down the hospitals in Pittsburgh about what the recovery time is going to, and I make it realistic, because, you know, it's going to take a while, but you got to have the faith. I never missed church the whole time I was sick. They had a little chapel downstairs in the lobby.
Yeah.
They had, at the end, I was going down there in a wheelchair, but I never missed.
So
and I believe God got me through it.
Half of Americans don't have your faith. What do you tell them? What do they do?
Half of my family doesn't have that faith.
What do you tell them? But, what do they do?
I just tell them, you know, it's going to happen to you, and it's going to have them faith and hope like that. If it doesn't save your life, it's going to at least put you at ease. And that's what put me at ease, is, you know, I was looking forward to death and then seeing my wife again someday.
Seriously, man? You were looking forward to it?
I was in so much pain.
Okay, I get it.
I wanted it to end, and then what really got me is one morning, it was a Saturday morning, my wife never shed a tear the whole time I was in the hospital. I got up in the morning, and there's a priest by my head.
Yeah.
My wife is in the corner crying, and I'm listening to the words. I'm like, what are you doing? And he was giving me last rites.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
And I went home.
Wow.
I said, I don't want to die in a hospital, so I went home. I was home for 2 days, and they had a liver for me.
That's insane. Hey, stupid question. Are you happy to be alive?
I am very happy to be alive.
How old are you, man?
I enjoy every day.
How old are you?
I'm 51.
Wow, you're 51. Young. Young, man. That's fascinating. Do you have kids? So, you have kids?
I have no kids, but tons of nieces and nephews.
Huh. That's a beautiful
so
story.
I try to get. I'm close. I didn't talk to one of my family members for 22 years.
What?
And, yep, and now we're closer than ever.
Now I'm cool with that. I think it's wonderful. My mother's death brought me closer to my sister Maria than ever before in our lives.
Yep. And I'm close. This was the first Thanksgiving I actually spent with family in over 20 years.
That's amazing. I love your story, buddy. I love your story. I love your enthusiasm. I love every word of it. You had last rites. You had last rites, brother.
I had last rites. I can honestly say
that's amazing.
Even last rites.
That's amazing. Thank you, man.
So, all right. Thank you. Have a good
you too, break. Man. Wow, that was good stuff. Talking about a mortality, started the conversation. One of my cousins died, one of my close friends, one of the guys that I was tight with growing up. And sitting there this morning with my wife, Christine, understanding the dynamic of life and death. I'm a big boy, but when you see this start to happen, you wonder how you will manage it. Kathy, go ahead. Thanks for your patience.
Is it me?
It is you. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you something that happened to me many, many years ago. I was 28, maybe. My daughter was between 6 and 8. And we were in the backyard, and she came up to me, and she said, Mommy, what would you do if I died? And I said, whoa, this is serious. And I looked at her, and I said, well, honey, I think I would be very sad for a long time. And then I said, I think I would be happy that I had you as long as I did. And that, I feel like it was God spoke and not me.
Do you believe that? Do you believe it, though, in your heart of hearts, that you'd be cool with dying and leaving her here?
Oh, see, now that's another...
No, here's my issue.
That's exactly what she was asking. She was asking what she would do if I died.
I get it. Yeah.
And I was trying to tell her the only thing that I could, that
she
had to be happy.
I remember telling my wife, honey, I can't die from cancer. I have an 8-year-old son. He won't remember me. I distinctly recall that.
Yes. Yeah, he will remember you, though.
Little stuff.
A little, yes. So you're not afraid of dying, Marty. You're afraid of missing out on graduations and weddings and babies.
No, you're right. No, she's right. It's the truth.
But I've lost my mom and my dad and my best friend's sister and my brother in the last 5 years. And I will miss them forever.
Doesn't that get in your head? Get in your head?
Does it get in my head?
Does it?
Mm. I am grateful that I had them.
Nice.
That sticks in my head.
Good for you. Yeah. I get that. I am too, but I'm a little angry about all of it.
Oh. Yes. I was 30 when my mother died.
Gosh.
Because she had me late in life.
So that's when I had Vince. I'm hoping to live to 80 so he'll see his dad when he's 30. Love the call. Dwayne, go ahead.
Hey, Marty. I am sorry for your loss. Hey, a couple things. I remember one time I was in this church and the pastor once told everybody that he did a lot of last rites, and everybody that he did last rites, with the majority of the people, had a lot of regrets. And basically he was saying that when you're still alive, think about those regrets and do something about it now so
nice.
You don't have all
nice.
That. So I thought that was a big
thing. No, that's nice.
Thing. Yeah, and the other thing I noticed, a lot of people that are super religious seem like they walk through life believing there is a better life.
I agree.
Well, as far as I know, this isn't a practice run, and until I'm given concrete proof, I'm going to live this life as it's what I have. And I think a lot of people just have to do that instead of just counting on a better life afterwards.
Yeah, I like you, man. I think you've got a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength in every word. Good for you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.